a reason that fathers, brothers, cousins, grandfathers, men in particular, are under attack. But it's not just the men, it's also the mothers and the daughters that are also under attack. Remember, the Bible says, for these shall be perilous days, and we are surely living in the last days. Well, the problem is, we haven't come to a clear-cut conclusion of who it is that's trying to destroy us. We keep looking without, and the problem is within. And there's a reason for it. Go to the book of Joel. We'll start with Joel. The second chapter in the 28th verse. And it states, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." And what we have to understand when it's talking about that, it's talking about a demographic. Like what it means by demographic, it's talking about sons and daughters and fathers and mothers and different ones and parallelism to show that all people from every demographic, whether they're young, whether they're old, whether they're male or whether they're female, now have access to the Spirit of God. So that's why Paul said, church, you are without excuse. When it talks about it, it shall pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Well, when Joel was talking about this, he was talking about the day of Pentecost. That's when they were in the upper room. And it's important that we understand that it says, I will pour out. It means I will pour forth, or I will empty into you my spirit, or breath, or rational soul, or mental disposition. Upon all flesh, as flesh talking about human nature, with all his frailties, his physically or morally, and his passions. And we have become so passionate about certain things, we have forgot about what the Word of God has told us. The Word of God has told us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Word of the Lord. Well, we have become so passionate about things that we have forgot that. We have forgotten that it's not about us, but it's about Him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And that's one of the problems that we're having. And when Joel was prophesying this, he was prophesying. And see, you have to look at the demographic. There's two things going on here. When you read the first part of verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. How many see what's going on there? It's not talking about people that are full of the Holy Ghost or born again or been separated under some type of gift in their lives. It's not talking about those people. It's talking about somebody who's lost, somebody that's broken, somebody that's discouraged, someone that doesn't know where they're going to go. Because a lot of times, you have a vision, and if you follow that vision, it will lead you in the right direction. The problem is, we don't have a vision. And without that vision, the people do what?
Perish.
The word perish doesn't mean that they're destroyed. It means that they're slowly, slowly fall apart. It's like perishable goods. When you first get them, the longer you keep them, the worse they get. Amen. So the longer you try to hold on to you, the worse you're going to get. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter. There are so many things going on in the world today that we are under attack. Especially the young men are under attack. You know, and you can say it's a spirit if you want to. They're giving in to their emotionalism, to their feelings, to their ideas, to their principles. That's what they're giving in to. Say, for instance, you make me mad. I give in to my emotions and say, well, I'm not going to let you get away with it, so I come back and shoot you.
Yeah.
I didn't need Satan to convince me to do that. I convinced myself I was going to do that.
Amen.
Why? Because somehow or another, my flesh told me you humiliated me, so I got to get even. These are the reasons so many things are going on. And the reason I said it's not just for the men anymore, but it also is for the women, because the women are shooting each other just as much as the men are.
Yes, man.
That's because just like the father told Noah, build me an ark. I want you to build me an ark, and I want you to put two of everything on there. Big mistake. Put two of everything on there. So he proceeded to put two of everything on that boat, on that ship. And it's amazing that the ship was big enough for two of everything that was living. But let me show you something about flesh. You might have put two doves on there, two cows, two pigs, a couple fish, couple people that love God, and a couple people that could care less about God. But guess what? You had to put them on the boat. Because God said, I want you to take two of every kind. So if you got a couple people with bad attitudes, they got to go on the boat too. You got to obey God's word. He said two of every kind. Second Acts, the second chapter of Acts, the 16th verse. Now this is Paul talking about. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is, I mean, Peter. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet, what? Joel. And it shall come to pass. I like the word shall because it means it's something that's immediately going to take place. Okay. Meaning that it cannot happen. It's got to happen. In the last days, saith God, I will do what? Pour or bring forth or pour within of my spirit upon or lay forth to all flesh. Now you have to understand something. Some flesh ain't going to be happy about God messing with them. Because they like their lifestyle. They like the way they think. They like the way they feel about things. So God is in their way. So since they figure God is in their way, now they open up the door for the man. Because the Bible says, let me see now. My Bible never told me that Satan hated God. Never. My Bible only told me one person hated God. And it was Adam. Hated God. For it said he had enmity with God. Meaning he hated God. So if he hated God, and unfortunately he is our father. Because he made sure that everything that was born after the death was born into sin. So he left us something. And there's no way of getting rid of it, but there is a way of bringing it under subjection.
All right, yes. Yes, it is.
Amen. This is why we're under attack. Because he don't want to see daughters prophesy. Sons and daughters prophesy. Young men sing visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. He doesn't want none of that to transpire. Because it's a possibility, if you don't know God, you might dream something to take you to a place to see God.
Amen.
So he wants to separate you from that principle that God is trying to... Let me tell you something. Every man has been born with a measure of faith. It's his job to make sure that measure always stays a measure. Because if it ever becomes more than just a measure, you're going to start looking at things differently. You're going to start saying to yourself, oh my God, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You're going to look around and say, people come, no weapon formed against me can prosper.
Right.
Your faith is growing now. Your faith is growing. Yeah. It's increasing and you're looking at things different. And then you say to yourself, well, man, if God be for me, who can be against me? That's why we're under attack, because he doesn't want us to rely on the very word and the very substance that's going to help us get to the place of to see God.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
And on my servants, now see, this is different. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now he's talking about them folks that have already committed themselves to God. They've already committed themselves to God. That's why he said, my servants. Bonds, people that have sacrificed to become slaves to Jesus.
Yeah.
And my handmaidens. Which means absolutely the same thing as servants. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out or pour within or bring forth in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. How will they prophesy? They will prophesy with their walk. They will prophesy with their talk. They will prophesy with their character.
Yes.
They will prophesy with their nature. Yes. Now you ain't got to open up your mouth and give somebody a prophecy and tell them they're going to be rich. If they hang around you long enough and that's your principle and that's your idea, they're going to catch hold.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start hanging around El Torres. Because he's seen his vision.
Amen.
And now he done jumped right in the middle of his vision.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, I used to always say, if you want to be a pauper, go out and hang out with paupers. If you want to be rich, find out how somebody that's rich got to be rich.
Amen.
Don't just sell.
Amen.
So, and I will show wonders. See, this is where it gets kind of crazy, because this is the point where people get to talking about the difference between Antichrist. difference between the Antichrist. But that theory's been shot down a long time ago. Because my Bible tells me that if you're anti-God, you are anti-Christ. I don't know how they made that so hard, evangelist. It is what it is. If you're anti-God, you are an anti-Christ. Or if you don't take the word for what the word says, you are an antichrist. So while we stand around looking for antichrist, he's right here. Mingling right along with you. Ooh, Lord have mercy. He will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. This is the guy that they call the Antichrist. Or when you talk about wonders, it's talking about, it's got two words. It's talking about prodigy and omen. Now, you probably overlooked the word prodigy, but you stuck with the word omen. The word prodigy means a person, especially a young adult or middle age with qualification or special abilities. Listen to what an omen is. An event regarded as a portent of good or evil, meaning it's a sign or forwarding of danger. So when we talk about looking here, we say, and I will show wonders. This is what God has said. I will manifest wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below. God has already chosen his chosen people. But yet there are going to be signs in the earth where people don't want to be part of the chosen. Anytime you tell, I know that God created the blood that flows through our veins, and you refuse me to get a blood transfusion, there's a problem. I'll take my chance with the transfusion. It's talking about the different type of ministries that have erected themselves in the earth that are not preaching and teaching the truth. But yet so many people have been caught up. It says, servants of my handmaid, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth. When it talks about the earth beneath, it's talking about us. And then it says, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. All these things represent principles, ideas in our lives. When it talks about fire, it's talking about being angry. When it's talking about the vapor, it's talking about the atmosphere that is produced from your anger. When it talks about the smoke, it's talking about when you combine the fire and the vapor, what do you get? You're going to get smoke. What can't you do with smoke? Smoke will what? Kill you. Then it goes on to say, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. When I first read that, Brother Andy, I actually got scared. I'm like, oh Lord, what's about to happen here? Then I began to study and found out the sun shall be turned or transformed into darkness. And that's what's happening today. Jesus himself, people that claim to be saved are allowing darkness to overrun their lives. Darkness represents hatred and envy and strife, conflict, jealousy, malice, all these different things that it represents. And it has made its way and it has enveloped and turned into darkness. But look at this. And the moon in the blood. Why? Because God always got a ram in the bush. You take the greater light and you try to turn it to darkness. But I'm going to take the lesser light and I'm going to turn it to light. God has said, so regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of how dark and sad it may be, I still have the ability to turn it into the light.
Come on now. Amen. Amen.
He says, before the great and notable day of the Lord come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be what?
Saved.
What is that saying? It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Ain't nobody going to get around it. You better know your God.
Amen.
You better know your God and who you are in Him and who He is in you and what powers and authorities you possess by standing upon the power and the principles of God's Word.
Amen.
And see, I'm kind of excited because I can go to Revelations and say, when it talks about the new moon and the new sun and the new earth and all this stuff, it says in the book of Revelations that, and I saw a new heaven coming down. And then to top that off, I saw a new earth coming down. Paraphrase. So if y'all want to lift out of here, go ahead. I think I'm going to wait on mine. They that wait upon the Lord shall be. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know him. Being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden unto. But David speaketh concerning, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in his hope. How many heard that? My flesh shall rest in his hope. Meaning that I'm going to rest in God regardless of what I have done, regardless of what I could do, regardless of what I might do. I'm going to keep my peace and my rest in God. And we know David did some stuff. But he did all the stuff he did. He still turned out to be what? The apple of God's eye. Because he was willing to repent for his transgressions. The problem with flesh, it won't repent because it don't think it's done nothing wrong. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. That's Jesus talking.
Amen.
Jesus said, you're not going to leave me there. He was telling us something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I called you to prophesy and to have visions. And do supernatural things. So don't you think for one minute that where I brought you to, I'm not going to take you further.
Amen.
All I want you to do is to hold fast to your profession of faith.
Amen.
Stop trying to lean on somebody else's faith and stand on yours.
Come on now.
Folks see the moon turn red, they're going to run right to the hills. I'm going to tell them, leave me your car keys. Leave me your car keys. And a few dollars for some gas. And if you ain't using that 23-story house you got, you can give me the keys to that too. Because when you run to the mountaintop, that's where you're going to stay. So you ain't going to need what you leave. You better make sure if something tells you to move, it's God. And the only way you can make sure it's God is through this.
That's right.
If you hear anything other than what come out of this Bible, it ain't God.
Amen.
Amen. Understand. Hallelujah. Old men shall dream dreams. You know what kind of dreams they're going to dream? When they see the young people that are falling by the wayside pick themselves up, shake the dust off their feet, and get into the things of God. I don't care what you're going through. Let yourself have a vision of something. Run that after it like I run after a frog. Frog leg, that is. Everybody take somebody by the hand this morning, please. One thing you never say to yourself, it could never get worse. Never say that. Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes.
As we stand here today, believing and trusting in who all that you are,
yes.
Father, we're not going to worry about none of these things that the enemy is trying to produce in our lives. But we're going to bring it all under subjection because you said, we have power over them.
Yes.
And that if we ask anything in thy name, believing, it shall come to pass. Yes. Father, we need to start prophesying some stuff into our lives.
Yes.
Prophesying some good stuff, Father.
Yes.
And then believing on that which we've spoken into it.
Yes.
Teach us, Lord God, to have faith and confidence in the words that proceeded out of our mouth when they're morally content. Use us for your glory, Father. Let the anointings that's in our lives, let the one anointing, let it manifest itself and flow together as the apothecary, Lord God, creating a sweet sense of perfume, Father, that we might know one another as we come in contact with each other. Father, you are growing your church all over the world. That's why there's so many different things that are going awry and crazy. Men killing women. Women killing men, men killing children, children killing fathers, children killing mothers. These things that are all coming are going on right now, but they're not being caused by Satan. They're being caused by the mentality and the unmorality that's in the people that are doing this stuff.
Yes,
Lord. So it's our job, Father, to pray and to seek you and to believe that all things, regardless of who they are, what they are, what they think, how they feel, what they can imagine, shall come under subjection to the power of God. And that's even if they don't even know the word. Your power can move upon those that don't even know the word. Mary Magdalene knew nothing about the word, but all she knew, she was touched. The woman with the issue of blood didn't know nothing about the anointing. But she knew if she could touch the hem of his garment, she was going to be healed. Let us have that same mindset as we run this race. So, Father, I thank you right now also. Let the power of the living God flow down from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Healing, delivering, setting the captives free. Lord God, let this be a day of rejoicing. Let tomorrow be a day of rejoicing. And the day after, and the day after, and the day after. Hallelujah. Amen. Because every man that's called a father ain't actually a father.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. My Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So you keep us and you bless us, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Come on, give God some praise.
Here, Taramo, she